Folks, welcome back to What Would Father Say here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio. This is Tom McNew, and Father John Gozaldo is joining us again here as we march our way through the Ten Commandments, and we are on the ninth commandment this week. We're going to get into some, I think, some language facets here as we talk about these last two commandments here. For those of you that are following along at home in your catechism, we are on, we're going to start here with paragraph 2514 and on page 602 here in our catechism. But Father, thanks again for joining us.
My pleasure. Glad to be here.
So I think we should start out with a little bit of a discussion about the difference between what Exodus says and what Deuteronomy says and what the church teaches
So
here.
yeah, there's two lists in the Old Testament, and they're a little bit different, of the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue. Exodus 20 has one and Deuteronomy 5. Now, traditionally, the Catholic Church has kind of used Deuteronomy 5, and that's what's caused the confusion between a Protestant list of commandments and the Catholic one. They're not that different, but it is remarkable. So in the Protestant 10 list, they split out the first commandment, have no other gods before me, and make no graven images. Make no graven images, that's their second commandment. In our list, that is assumed into the first. You'll have no other gods before me, and it lists all the ways that can happen. Second commandment, you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. So how that plays itself out is at the end of the list, the Protestant list just says, you shall not cover your neighbor's wife or any of his goods. You shall not cover. However, in the Catholic list, using, I would say, Augustine's list, if I'm not mistaken, and Deuteronomy 5, it separates it out. The ninth commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. It's a whole different genre as opposed to coveting your neighbor's goods and gifts. And any neighbor will tell you, if somebody walks home and says, man, I really love your car, I love your lawnmower, the neighbor's like, oh, thank you. And I wish, where'd you get that? But someone walks over and says, I really am attracted to your wife. That's different. I'm really attracted. Well, then, hey, buddy, that's a whole other genre, ethos, whole other chapter. So we don't treat those the same.
So why then should we focus, or maybe let me ask it this way. I think it's important to focus on just the aspect of our spouse as a separate commandment, and I think it goes back to kind of what we've talked about previously, and it boils down to God created man and woman in his image to be man and to be woman.
You stumbled on really the essence of covenant. It's co God's, as Catholics, we say our relationship with Christ is nuptial. And I would also argue that every sin you could label as the sin of adultery. And Isaiah, Jeremiah, especially Ezekiel, Amos, the prophets, especially Isaiah and Jeremiah, accused the Israelites of whoring after other gods. In Isaiah, where God says, I was your husband. Or it's an espousal relationship. When a brother or friend betrays you, that hurts. But when a spouse commits adultery, that's disastrous. Covenants are broken and violated. So I think it is less in intensity and less consequences, because to covet your neighbor's wife goes against not just the Ten Commandments, but Jesus doubles down when he talks about, if you have heard that you shall not commit adultery, but I tell you, he doubles down. If you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. What is, and if a man marries a divorced woman, a divorced wife, and marry another, you commit adultery. He was a hard liner, a very hard liner. And to the point where it sounds like he's being unreasonable. He's being unreasonable. You know, I go to any high school football game and out come the cheerleaders and the dance squad. You know, we fight with our constantly. We go to Catholic Heartwork Camp. You know, girls nowadays wear shorts. They're not shorts. They're not, they're like underwear bottoms. Like, and if you say something, they're always like, "Well, that's all they have. You know, you can't buy anymore." What? What? So that's for that battle for purity, especially of the eyes.
This gets into, I think, 20 paragraph 2515, introduces us to a word that we hear a lot, concupiscence.
Oh yeah, $1 million word
And I'm
there.
not sure that a lot of us, myself included, really understand exactly what that word really means.
Yeah, it just means that even though we have been forgiven, baptized, we've been washed, we're born again, and adopted, we have been washed, regenerated, the inclination of sin is still there. We are inclined towards things that are bad for us. Somebody the other day brought me this big cookie with pink icing on top of it. Absolutely sinful. And I took a bite out of it and I could feel the dopamine in my brain going crazy. And I know this is just sugar and carbs and sugar and sugar. And so I took another bite and ate half of it and threw the rest away. Now, if she knew that, she'd be mad at me.
We won't
But
tell.
doing that is no, get away from me. Because I know my teeth and my, because my very body craves sugar. Everybody knows, you probably know this, from, you know, cancer also loves sugar, loves it. It'll kill you in the process. So God allows that so that we can exercise our spiritual muscles. You know, the Lord of the Rings is a great example of that. The ring, you know, he both loves and hates the ring. It consumes you. You become addicted to it.
My
It
precious.
seeks out, and those who it's yeah, the ring is a perfect example of concupiscence, because it tempts you with power, and it's intoxicating and makes you drunk. And why does God just take that away? Well, because we have to have freedom. And love means nothing. You know, yes means nothing if no is impossible. And any girl will tell you that when you walk up to her in a dance and ask her to dance, the difference between that, you know, choosing between 100 girls and she's the only one in the room, or when she finds out her dad, his dad made him ask you, that it was done out of, you know, a compulsion. The girl's not gonna go, "I don't care. I'm so glad he." No, it wasn't out of freedom. You know, it's the difference between when a man says to a woman, "I need you," which is, it means there's something wrong with the guy, or "I choose you," which is a little bit less romantic, but says, "No, I choose you." What is he doing? Love is a decision rather than a compulsion. We always tell the girls, if a guy ever says, "I can't live without you," run. Run like hell. Because there's something wrong with him. That's what he's going to say to the last girl, and that's going to say to the next girl. Anyway, I got off track here.
No, that's
Concupiscence.
okay.
It's concupiscence. That's why celibacy, I think all ministers, Protestant and Catholic, should be celibate. I think soldiers should be celibate. I think NBA and NFL football players should be celibate.
There's a different conversation for a different day.
Yeah, there you are.
But I think you bring up a good point because right as it says in the very next paragraph, man is a composite being, spirit and body, and that we have to keep not just our spirit clean and cleansed, and faithful, but our body clean and cleansed and faithful as well.
And it says there, it is a spiritual battle, because when we discipline our bodies, then our spirit becomes disciplined, and then our being becomes disciplined. And we cannot be happy without discipline. We cannot. Those who are disciplined are free, happy. They found their meaning in life. Those who are undisciplined in their bodies find themselves in jail, find themselves playing alimony and child support to seven different women, find themselves broke and addicted and on under the highway in Austin, because they lost the spiritual battle. They believed the lies of the evil one when he said, "No, give in to this temptation, and I will make you happy." It is all a lie. It's all a lie. It's just like the fancy hook on the end of a fishing line, and the fish looks at that fancy spinning thing and says, "Oh, that looks so delicious." Next thing you know, he's flopping and flapping inside of a boat, thinking, "Why did I fall for that?" I can't. I don't like fish. I don't fish.
I
I
don't
always look
either.
at the. I always look at the eyes of the fish and go. I could just see him going, "I was free in the open ocean, free." And now I'm with these morons. It's my own fault. I mean, that's the harder. That's my own fault. I fell for it. They didn't set me in a net. They got me in a hook.
And
Anyway.
that, we the first section in this in the catechism under this commandment talks about being a purification of the heart, or being pure in heart, and references then the sixth beatitude.
Yeah, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. And I tell people this in the confessional. Remember, chastity is part of the good news. It's part of the good. Those who are chaste and practice chastity are happy. But I think of it as white knuckling, and freedom. A few people more depressed than a porn addict. A few depressed and loss of self and self-hatred, and then give in to despair. Then give in to despair. But meanwhile, the porn makers are making money hand over fist and destroying their souls in the process. Yeah, the
But
pure of heart are promised that they will see God face to face and be like him. That's why those who struggle with chastity, they stay behind the screen because they can't show their face, because they don't think they're worthy. None of us are worthy, but the evil one has convinced them of that.
chastity is I think an interesting topic. And I'd like to hear your thoughts on how much responsibility do I, as a faithful Catholic, man or woman, have in ensuring that, or I'm trying to ask this in the right way, I guess, maybe,
I
but
hear
so how much responsibility do I have in making sure that other people are able to maintain their chastity or maintain a chaste mindset around me, either by the way I dress, the way I act, the way I talk, et
Yeah,
cetera, et
so
cetera.
neither you and I, Tom, are gonna force some woman to look at us with unchaste
No,
eyes. We don't have to worry about that.
ain't happened. Yeah.
No, it ain't happening. But we can have emotional inchastity and verbal inchastity. Most affairs start with texting, sharing intimate information, online secrecy. That's what all starts.
We're just friends.
And then sharing information about ourselves that really should. I've been listening to some YouTube videos from Jordan Peterson. He says, once you get a certain age, don't be sharing, telling people about your past. They don't need to know that. Don't do that. You think you're being honest and it's going to create an intimacy and openness. No, it ruins the relationship. It ruins it. So we can be emotionally unchaste and spiritually unchaste. We're all tempted to do that. And women, especially our young girls, are tempted to be visually unchaste because they want to feel loved. They want to be pursued and feel pretty. And when they see other girls doing that by dressing immodestly, they think, well, this is the only way I'm going to get it. And so, yeah, but the little do they know is that being mysterious is attractive. Being mysterious. I mean, there were some girls in my high school that were so beautiful, but were modest that we guys didn't go near them because they were mysterious. We were humble about them. We were quiet about around them. That they, even if they would talk to us, we felt like a million bucks. Why? Because they seemed untouchable and mysterious. That's what girls should have the attitude like. The girls that it would come and sit on your lap or be unchaste and immodest, they had daddy issues. Sometimes mama issues too. Because they long for that ache of being known, being intimate, and they do it in unhealthy ways. And they think if they give a little bit of themselves, they'll be loved. And they're absolutely wrong because they don't understand the male mind. Yeah. You know, there's an old saying, it's not me, that when it comes to like sex, especially erotic and fornication, that women use, girls use sex to get love and men use sex, no, use love to get sex. Both of them are using each other. Both of them, it's leading down. You find yourself in a pit in the devil's trap. All of a sudden you realize, what? I just took the bait. I took the bait. And nowadays we're being baited. Clickbait is out there all the time.
Oh, gosh.
I get sent talk about truth. I know it's not what we're talking about, but I get sent these texts that say I owe money to something. And people say, no, that's a scam. Well, it sounds legit.
Oh, yeah.
And they're taking something from you. Will it be worth it? Will it be worth it when you're serving your time and eternity in hell?
I like what the catechism says, though, here in section two, paragraph 2520, by the virtue and gift of chastity, for chastity lets us love with upright
Un
and
an undivided.
undivided heart.
An
I think
undivided
that's
heart.
critical. I think that's
Yeah.
the kind of the key component here.
And that's ultimately played out in marriage and celibacy. Because a married person is supposed to have an undivided love for their spouse. And a priest is supposed to have an undivided love for the church. That's why I tell my Protestant pastor friends, I love my church more than you love yours. Because I have a undivided, I love her the most. You love your spouse the most, right? Admit it. You love your spouse. You're supposed to. But the church deserves someone to love her the most. A spouse deserves to love them the most in an undivided way. Because Christ loved us, with his whole body, with his whole body, all that he was, the second person of the Trinity died. Think about that. The second person naked on a, is willing to be humiliated. Yeah, so the answer for all that is the cross reveals all that what heals.
And this really kind of gets to, the what's the phrase? I would if I could, as we, and I think it tends to exist more in men than in women. The Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition that gets, it gets published, and oh, it's just harmful. They're models
Harmless,
and
harmless, yeah.
harmless, excuse me, it's just harmless,
Yeah.
but they're models and they're just showing the latest trends in fashion and whatever the case may be, and the
Show
reality
as
is
much as we can without getting it labeled
exactly.
porn. Yeah.
And in all honesty, it is pornography. not in the gross sense of the word, but
Look what it says in paragraph. What paragraph is that? I guess it's still 2020,
oh,
25,
25,
20.
20, yeah, kind of, it's a long
It
paragraph,
quotes
yeah.
wisdom. By purity of vision, external and internal, the discipline of feelings and imagination, by refusing all complicity in impure thoughts that incline us, that's concupiscence, to turn aside from the path of God's commandments. And it quotes wisdom. Appearance arouses yearning in fools.
I love that.
Appearance arises yearning. And there's the fish again, the
Yeah.
foolish fish who's looking for the easy catch. I always see those specials where there's fish that hide in the rocks. They just wait for the one to come by. Wham! Because they're patient. They're patient. And they wait for them to come close instead of the ones that go for the easy. So purity requires modesty. Modesty protects the mystery of the person. That's all theology of the body.
Yeah.
Because in 25:22, that word mystery, that women are meant to be a mystery. And you and I both know that's true in many ways, but that
I think
is enticing.
I think we
Encourages
could go a
people to
long
go
yeah
ahead.
I think we could go a long way in helping each other with with love in our heart, pointing out to people when what they say, what they do, what they wear kind of get flies in the face of modesty and chastity
Yeah,
and making things difficult.
modesty inspires one choice of clothing. It keeps silence or reserves where there is evident risk of unhealthy curiosity. It is discreet. Because, John, St. Thomas Aquinas talks about how curiosity, more than even lust, curiosity is what leads to sin. Well, that looks really interesting. I'll just dip my toe in a little bit, a little bit. I always think about that when I drive by McDonald's and I have a big old double quarter pounder with cheese on the window. And then you go inside and order it, and two things happen. First of all, it doesn't look like it what it did
No.
on the window. It doesn't look like that. And then you eat the whole thing and go home and you feel, oh, I can't believe I ate that. You got like a
Rock in your
gut
belly.
pack. And you can't move because you got a food coma. But man, that picture out on the window with the sesame seeds and the dripping cheese and the ketchup. Oh, it's like,
There's a reason that people get paid big money for marketing.
oh, I'm amazing. Because it's seductive. It's
Yeah.
seductive. And we always say this, I said this yesterday. I forget who said this, but men are easily seduced, and women are easily propagandized. Women, the devil can propagandize women like Eve and, Bathsheba, not Bathsheba, but Jezebel. But because if they can propagandize, a demon can propagandize a woman, she will seduce the man. She will seduce Adam. Samson, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oh,
David.
goodness.
Did you see the reading for today? Oh my gosh, the first reading for today.
Oh, yeah.
It's where Sarah lets Abraham have relations with her. What? What? Now they're equally guilty of adultery. And who's going to pay the price? Ishmael.
Everybody.
Everybody, the whole thing, up until now. I mean, that's what the Arab, then you say, well, Ishmael is the product of this, and he didn't ask to come into the world.
Yeah, we'll have to save that conversation about Ishmael and the Muslim
Isaac.
world
Oh
and the founding of Islam. We'll come back later in the summer and have a conversation
Because
about
if I see Sarah in heaven, I want to ask her. I mean, I imagine she would love to take that back.
Oh yeah, sure.
That was a mistake.
Yeah,
Because there
big
are
mistake.
women out there who tell their husbands or boyfriends, I don't mind if you use porn.
Yeah,
And then
open
you drill
marriage.
them, do you really mean that? And I go, no. I had an engaged couple tell me that once. And she said, no, I don't like that at all. And he was like, wait a minute. Yeah, she does mind. It hurts her. And even though
But
she
you
said
said,
it's okay, she realized she made a mistake. Anyway.
All right, well, folks, that's gonna do it for this week's episode of What Would Father Say? And actually, we got through the Ninth Commandment here in one episode. So we'll
One
come back.
more.
We'll come back next week for the last of our Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll dive into some stories and some catechesis on it. Father,
Yeah.
thanks again for joining us, and if you wouldn't mind leaving us with your blessing today.
Well, let us just end with the doxology. All glory be to the Father, and the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was, the beginning is now, and will be forever. And the
Amen.
Lord be with you,
And with
and may
your
Almighty
spirit.
God, and may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Father. Y'all have a great week, and remember to put on the armor of God.